Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord one more time? But the Bible says, and shout with a voice of triumph. Somebody ought to say, yes, yes, yes. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm so glad to be back in Evangeline. Y'all are so sweet. If I lived around here, and if you're a guest today, listen. If I lived around here, I'd go to church right here. That's what I do. Amen. Now, if you want to miss out on something, but this would be the place I'd hang my hat. Hallelujah. This wonderful church, you're blessed with a great pastor, awesome wife. What a team. Amen. Bless you. And I wished I wasn't in Missouri on Mother's Day. I'd come listen to Sister Patterson. I bet you that's going to be good. Amen. I have no doubt. And then this praise singer, you're blessed with some good singers. Hallelujah. Especially this lady right over here. Sound like Gussie Goodman. I'm telling you the truth. Where is she? Look right there. That's Sister Goodman right there. Oh, Lord. I love your songs. They're so good. Amen. And to all the wonderful people, I love you and thank you for your kindness and sharing with us Open Door. And you have been overly kind to us. And so thank you so much. And we're grateful for the opportunity to be here and even be asked to come. And the generous offering, thank you so much. Amen. I know that it cost you. Amen. But thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I want to go to work here. That's what I get paid for. Amen. So I want to preach a little bit. And, you know, let me just say this. I've been retired a while, and it's 2018, I think. And when I was talking about retirement, thinking about retirement, I wanted to try to figure out, I wanted a game plan. You know, what we gonna do and so forth. And so I made up a little plan. I wanted a good church. I want to go to a good church, and I wanted a good pastor. I didn't want him to preach long. I don't like long-winded preachers. Now, I don't mind preaching long, but I don't want to listen to them. But I wanted a good pastor, good preacher, and so I started looking around. And so I decided when I found that church, I wanted to come in late, and I wanted to leave early. And then I wanted to complain about the music. I wanted to gripe about all these new songs they're singing. But you know, the Bible said when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing a new song. Now, if you don't like them new songs now, you won't like them. You might as well cancel heaven. Oh, some of y'all missed that. But I want to complain about the air condition. And I wanted to be sure that I told the pastor about 5 minutes before service that the toilet wasn't flushing. He needs to know that, especially before he's going to deliver the word of the Lord. But I had it all planned. That's what they did to me. Oh, y'all, y'all's head. But you know, when I got to thinking that I had a great-grandmother who was blind, and she is walking to church and got hit by a car. And I remember my grandmother sitting with an old French Bible, reading the word of the Lord. Then my mom and dad get the Holy Ghost. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And then my children started following us. And you know what? When I think about the goodness of the Lord, I just got to come to church and lift my hands, clap my hands, worship the Lord, praise Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to scare some of you, but just stay with me. Please don't leave until I'm finished. I'm not going to come off like I usually do or like preachers do. Instead of me coming up on the front porch and knocking at your front door, I'm going to come in the back door. Amen. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. My thoughts, they're not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts, they're higher than your thoughts. We serve a great God, and I'm glad that He is in control. Amen. Clap your hands to God again. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you got a good spirit, you can be seated. And if you got a bad spirit, sit down. Amen. Now, I'm going to be very plain. I'll be very honest. I'll be transparent with you today. And hopefully not misunderstood. Get you a coat, baby. Sometimes some things just don't make sense. There's no logic in it. There's no reasoning in it. And that's the reason I want to preach for a little while today. God and I, we don't always agree. I'm going to say some things you wanted to say but didn't. Peter writes a letter to the suffering and scattered saints, and he says in 2 Peter 3:1, I'm going to stir up your mind. Another translation says, I'm going to mess with your mind. And then the apostle is trying to help us. And then he explains, in which some things are just hard to understand. Verse 16. Now with that said, there's many things in this book that I have had a hard time understanding. Matter of fact, there's many things in this book that I totally disagree with. I didn't expect nobody to shout. Now let me explain to you. Please understand me. I'm not saying God was wrong. And I'm not saying this book is wrong. What I'm saying is I just personally disagree with the way some things played out. Because some things are just hard to understand. God and I don't always agree. Now let me kind of help you with this. Share my feelings. In Joshua chapter 7, a man named Achan, he stole about $57.10 of silver. And he stole a wedge of gold and a robe. To which God said, stone the whole family. Son, daughters, cats, dogs, sheep, camels. And after you kill them, I want you to burn them. Now, folks, that's a pretty tough punishment. Now, maybe put Achan in jail for several years. Maybe put him in hard labor in prison for a while. But kill him and his family. Folks, his family didn't do anything. And the cow didn't steal anything. Do I agree with that? No. Now, what about Job? Did you ever consider the details of Job? Job 1 and 6, the Living Bible says this. One day a member of the heavenly court came to present himself before the Lord, and the accuser, or Satan, came with him. And then the Lord, everybody say the Lord, the Lord said unto Satan, now what you been doing, creep? Something like that. And this is what the devil said. Well, I've just been strolling around the earth, walking up and down, just seeing whose life I can mess up. Now watch this, verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, everybody say, the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, can you believe that? I don't know about you, but I don't need the Lord sticking the devil on me. I get into enough trouble by myself. And he had done passed by, and the Lord said, if you consider him. Now, let me tell you, this man here, Job, the Bible said he was perfect. He was upright. He one that feareth God. He shewed evil. He would get up early in the morning. He would sanctify, and he would pray for his children. The Bible said not that they were bad, not that they had sinned, but he would do it just pre-adventure. Something would happen. So continually, the Bible said he prayed. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in thine hand. What he was really saying was just go after him and do anything you want to him. You agree with that? And so Satan just strolled over there to Job's farm. Now listen, he lost all of that because God said, have you considered him? I disagree with that. Now, what about Sister Lot? Now, she didn't do anything but look back. Folks, she didn't go back. She looked back. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you, since you've been in church, look back? And I read somewheres in this book, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is even fit for the kingdom of God. And God turns her into a pillar of salt just because she looked back. Now, men, what about this? Do you know who the Bible considered wisest man at that time? Solomon. I disagree with that. Any guy that's got 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. He's not smart.
That didn't go good.
Can you believe that God called a man after his own heart, David? This fella, he had some behavior issues. He was a peeping Tom. He was an adulterer. He was a lie. He was a wife stealer. He was a murderer. You think he had a prophet a problem? God called him a prophet. I don't believe Rahab should have been mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, along with all the other heroes of faith. Now, people, she wasn't holy. She was a hooker. And if she would have attended some churches that I have attended, she would have been lucky to get a hearty handshake. Maybe a few sneers, but not a handshake. Yet God allows her to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And I'll just give you a little key here. God used a virgin to save the world, and he used a harlot to save a nation. Meaning that your past is no excuse to keep you from being used of God.
Praise God. That's our God.
Now, what about Jacob? Do you think he deserved the title to be a prince in power with men and God? I don't get it. He deceived his brother. He stole the inheritance and the blessings. And then they turn around and give him the priestly rights of the family. I personally have a problem with the guy. That's just me. Because any man that likes to stay home and cook more than he likes to go deer hunting, I got a problem with him. He probably had pinky ring and had his nails done on Thursday, and he probably wore skinny jeans. I wasn't supposed to say that. God and I don't always... I don't believe it was right for Moses to miss the promised land. Am I making sense? He got a job he didn't ask for, to lead a people to a place they didn't even want to go. He performed miracles. He received commandments. But all he did was lose his temper. Anybody in here ever lost their temper? And he missed the promised land. You agree with that? I don't believe that God should have gave Isaac a wife to marry that he had never seen. Now, I know that God looks at the heart, but we got to look at their face every morning. I'm losing some of y'all. Hosea the prophet was commanded to take an unfaithful wife, and then he asked him to take her back. I'm going to tell you, after God, she left, thank God, in Greyhound, she's gone. But she went back to him. Do I believe God's asking of that to him was right? No. Isaiah was a godly counselor to Hezekiah. And then God commanded Isaiah to walk naked and barefooted down the streets of the city. You agree with that? I don't believe the prodigal son should have received more attention than the elder son. Welcome home? Yes. Party? No. When I was pastoring, when all the prodigals come back, we'd have had a party every service. I don't believe Peter should have preached on the day of Pentecost. I knew it was going to be quiet. Just 50 days prior to Pentecost, he was lying. He was cussing. And then a little over a month and a half, after denying the faith, God turns around and gives him the keys to the kingdom. Now, when I was coming up, you did something wrong. They brought you up front. And they stood you and they told everybody right in the front of God what you did. And then you couldn't teach a class for a year and a half, and you couldn't take communion for a year, and you couldn't get on the platform for a year. All you could do was mow the lawn and pay tithes. I don't care what you did. They never took tithes away. If you got to prison, he'd go by there once a month and pick up his dollar. Do you know that God allowed three murderers to write one-third of the New Testament? Moses, David, and Paul. So folks, God and I don't always agree. Now listen. There was a thief on the cross with Jesus. And that dude didn't do one solitary thing but trust the Lord. And he gets a free pass to paradise. He never followed the Lord. He never took time to listen to a sermon. He never believed in miracles. He broke every commandment he could. But in his dying breath, all he said was, "This man," talking about Jesus, "he did nothing amiss." He didn't make no mistake. He didn't do anything wrong. And the Lord turns to this man and says, "This day shall thou be with me in paradise." Oh, Lord. He was confident that God made no mistakes and that he had never done anything wrong to anybody. And the Lord gave him straight pass to paradise. Do you get that? Listen, trust is connected to eternal life. If you're going to have a happy life, you got to trust God. If you're going to have a good church life, you're going to have to trust the Lord. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And there's going to be some things that has no logic in it, no reasoning behind it, and definitely no explanation. But after years of serving the Lord and just living the life, I can now truthfully say that I agree with the thief on the cross. Our God has done nothing amiss. Am I making sense? Do I trust God's judgment more than mine? Yes. Do I agree with the thief on the cross? Yes. My firm, profound declaration is I'm going to hold on to faith and I'm going to keep my trust in him. And no matter what happens, I got a word from the Lord that all things are going to work out for good to them that love the Lord. I'm glad God's in control. And we'll never see the logic in it. No reasoning. Won't make sense. But we need to learn to entrust our lives to the Almighty God and his word. And even though I don't understand it, and I don't comprehend the thoughts and the way he does things, I have learned to trust in his methods. Amen. Now listen, life is so full of challenges. It really is. It's going to test your trust. And I'm preaching to somebody right now. You know, let me just give you this. We had a hurricane. Y'all know all about hurricanes. And had a hurricane come in years ago. And I live in the woods and had a lot of trees around my home. And so we prayed and asked God to help us out. And we left home and got a call from our church, and a big old tree fell right in the middle of it. Cracked the foundation. Big old branch went right into the house. And it was pitiful. Well, just a few days after that, I had a preacher call me and said, "Well, how did you fare with the storm?" I said, "Well, wasn't too good." He said, "Well, let me tell you. My family and I, we got in the middle of the living room and we prayed. And we asked God to let that thing go around us." And he said, "There wasn't enough leaves in the yard to even rake." I didn't want to hear that. Folks, I prayed too. But God didn't go around my house. I had to stay about a month in a travel trailer in a mobile home, motor home, and I went to town to shop a little bit, and I pulled up at one counter, you know, and the lady right in the front talked to the other lady and said, "Well, how'd y'all fare the storm?" And she said, "Well, we just prayed. And we just prayed, and God sent that thing right over us. Neighbors messed up. We didn't have one thing touched." And before she could turn around and ask me, because I'm a preacher, and I prayed also, but God didn't go around, or the storm didn't go around or over me. There's a song that we used to sing years ago, and it goes something like this: "And we will understand it." Oh, yeah. We'll understand it. But we may never understand it, but let me just throw this in free of charge. You may never explain what happened. You may never understand it. But if when we make heaven and you hear him say, "Well done," it's not going to matter what we thought here. Because whatever God did, he does it well. Amen. Matthew 20 talks about a story of, he said, "Kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that's a householder. Went out early in the morning and hired these men. And he said unto them, 'Go out in the vineyard and work.'" But this is what's interesting. He says it three times. He said, "Whatsoever is right, that shall you receive." whether you agree with it or not. It's going to be right. Now you listen to this, preacher. The quality of your spiritual life is predicated on the quality of your trust in God and the quality of your peace and joy and commitment is a direct result of your trust in God. My thoughts are not your thoughts, Isaiah 55 saith the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now you listen to a man of God's heart, 2 Samuel 22, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and the God of my rock, in him will I trust. 2 Samuel 22, 31, as for the Lord, his way is perfect. He is a butler. He is shield to all them that trust him. Verse 33, God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. His way is perfect, and he in turn makes my way perfect. Because everything God does is perfect for the purpose of his glory. So Psalm said in chapter 37, commit thy ways to the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, because he shall direct thy path. There are times we just have to learn that we're going to trust God. You'll never get an answer. You'll never get an explanation. But sometimes we just got to say, God, you know best. Abraham never heard a preacher. There was no church to attend. There was no laws to live by. But like a captain without a compass or an explorer without a map, that mysterious Columbus of his soul made him leave friends and family, job and land, looking for a city which had foundations and whose builder and maker is God. All he had was faith for as a compass, God for a companion, and he had heaven for a goal, and he had eternity in his heart. And he was called the father of the faithful. Psalms 2, blessed are all those that put their trust in him. Now let me, I want to hurt some of you right here. Just if you say amen loud, then others won't think you're guilty. Just we trust our children to daycare workers that we don't even know. And we trust school teachers with our little ones 6-7 hours a day. And far as we know or don't know, the teacher may be an atheist. And we trust our teenage daughters with guys who are jerks. We should have knocked them in the head the first day they showed up and told God they died. We trust heart surgeons with our life. And who knows, he may be on meth. And we eat at restaurants. We don't even know who the cook is. And we never been in the kitchen. Oh, I'm doing good now. We believe everything the newspaper says. We believe everything Facebook says. But when it comes down to the Word of God, we got to doubt it. We got to complain. We got to say, I'm not sure there. Folks, if it's in the book, I said if it's in the book, you might as well trust it and depend upon it. I remember a story about a battleship was coming into the inland waters and looked ahead, and there was a bright light in the distance. So he told the radio man, he said, I want you to radio ahead, and you tell that ship ahead of us they need to move over about 20 clicks to the left. We're coming through. And when he got back, the captain said, what did they say? And he said, well, they didn't say anything. He said, will you call them again? He called him again. And he said, they told me that you were supposed to go 20 clicks to the left, that they wasn't moving. And so he said, well, you better send them back. And so he used a little authority. He said, you tell them that I am a battleship, and they better move over to the left, 20 clicks. After a while, the captain asked the radio guy, said, what did they say? They said, we can't move. We're a lighthouse. You're going to have to move. Can I tell you something, that this book, it's a lighthouse, folks. It's not going to bend or bow. You can't change it. It's only going to be our lives that's going to have to go and be directed according to this. You can't change the Word of God. You have to trust it. This book is not a millstone to be tied around your neck and destroy you. It is a lifeline to heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but this book shall never pass away. Doesn't matter if you understand it or not. We better learn to trust it. Stay with me. Listen to the conclusion of Job. This is a guy that lost everything. Job 33. Why dost thou strive against him? He's talking to us. Job said, why do you get cross-threaded with Jesus or the Lord? He said, he maketh not an account of any of his matters. Some things he just don't explain. Some of you today may have lost a job. You may have went through a terrible divorce. You may have had a miscarriage that's left you scarred. Some of you may have lost a spouse or a child in an accident. And I understand exactly what you're going through. Because how many times in the last year or so that I have had to stop and talk to myself and ask God why, and finally decide God knows best. My son, many of you know, my son had a moral failure. He came to the house and he cried to the night, and he said, Daddy, I ruined your name, and I ruined the reputation of the church, and I destroyed any kind of grip that we had on the town. And I tried to talk him out of it, and say, well, you make a mistake, and you fall, you get back up, and we're going to go forward. My famous little words is, you just drop back 10 yards and punt. when you don't know what else to do. I didn't make much headway with him, and he was so sorry for what he had done until I had to make him quit saying I'm sorry. And then when he left my house, I guess around midnight, his younger brother, my middle boy, he went talked to him, and they rode around and until about midnight. I mean, about daylight. And so my younger boy called me the next morning and said, Dad, you know, Hunter just can't get over it. He can't get through this. This thing has just brought him down. And I said, I know. And so many of you know, it was about 9 or 30 that next morning or that my son, pastor of the Eunice Church, committed suicide. And it was so hard for us. And we were so proud, all our kids in church, all of our kids were doing so good. And so my life was just devastated. But thank God for a church family, and thank God for preacher friends. And you'll never know the value of a good church until you lose somebody. And the church will always step up, and they will be right there because somebody in the church has been through what you've been through, and they can help you get through it. And so Tuesday morning, a lot of my preacher friends gathered up. I don't know, we were 7 to 8, maybe we was in Joseph's house in the living room, and we were talking, and I was so heartbroken. I didn't want my boy to be lost. That was my biggest fear. And I had been very hard, and I admit that, very hard on suicide. I thought only selfish people do that, and you know, people that don't care about anybody else. But most of all, I thought people who commit suicide, that they're just murdering their self. And so I was broken. I definitely wanted my boy to be saved. And so we was all in the living room talking, and after a while I turned to one pastor or one preacher, and I said, why don't you sing a little bit? And he started singing, peace, peace, this wonderful peace. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost moved into that room, and we wept and we cried, and it wasn't long until we was praying and talking to the Lord, and finally there was tongues, and then there was interpretation, and God spoke to us. After we got finished, one of the preachers said, I got a word from the Lord. I said, okay, I want to hear it. He said, you know, Samson had his problems, and the same problem that your son had. And said, you know, Samson also committed suicide. He said, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, Samson's name is in the book, and God calls him a prophet. He said, God told me to tell you that if your son was living in Samson's day, his name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, that helped a little bit, you know. But you know how we doubt, don't we? We believe in grace, but we don't give nobody else grace. We like mercy, but we don't give mercy. And we talk about trusting God, but you let something happen, and it puts stress on our trust. And so we went to the funeral a couple of days later, and I was sitting there by the casket, and Brother Anthony Mangan came up, and he said, Brother Ronnie, said, I got a word from Mama, and Mama wanted me to tell you something. Now, folks, I don't know if you know Sister Mangan. When Mama Mangan says something, you better listen. And so I said, well, I want to hear it. He said, well, come with me. We're going to get in a private place, and I want to tell you what Mama felt this morning in prayer and told me to tell you. He said, the scripture that she gave me was Revelation chapter 2 and 21. And it goes like this. And God gave her a space to repent, but she would not. And that's talking about Jezebel. He said, God said he'd give her space to repent, but she didn't. He said, Mama told me this morning that God spoke to her and said, for me to tell you, do you think that I would give Jezebel a space to repent and not give your boy a space to repent? Folks, I needed that. My confidence in God went up. My trust in the Lord went up. But you know how we do? We keep doubting things, don't we? Look like God has to sit down beside us before we believe something. Then sometimes I have my doubts of that. And so here I was, and you know, I called ahead, and we were booked for a year, and so I called ahead several months, and I told them I wouldn't be there. And during that time, I was so broken, and I decided, you know, I just may fully retire and not preach out on weekends. I'll just stay home and stay close, go to church. And so we went about 2-3 weeks, and one of the pastors that I'd had a date with, he called and he said, Brother Lacombe, I want you to come preach for us. I said, Brother, listen, I called you and I'm not any good to you. I won't be a blessing to your church. I am just broken. We are just wiped out. And he said, no, I don't want you to be a blessing to our church. We want to be a blessing to you. So he said, you just come. I said, no. I said, I'm kind of fighting this deal about not even go out and preach anymore. He said, no, well, I want you to come preach for us. And I said, okay. And he said, well, I'll make it easy on you. We start at 10, but you show up at 11 in worship time. We'll have a place for you to park, ushers to get you in. Nobody will talk to you. Nobody's going to ask you any questions. And you can testify if you want to. You can preach if you want to. If you can't finish, just walk away, and I'll step up, and I'll finish it. And, you know, that's kind of... But when he said, God told me to tell you that you need to come, that changed everything. When God tells you something, you got to do it. And so I said, we'll come. And so my wife and I, we went, and we... got there, and they had beautiful, wonderful accommodations. And so we were, the next morning, got up early, Sunday morning, we early risers, and got up, and we went in the kitchen, the little dining area, and we got ourselves some food, and we were sitting down there eating together when another couple came by, and they got their plates, and it was obvious the lady was Pentecostal. And she looked over there at me, and she smiled, and so there was a little mutual feeling there. And so they finally served herself, and they left, went down the hall, and they were gone. And it wasn't just a minute or so. This lady came back, came right to our table, and she said, you know what? When I walked in my room, God spoke to me. Now listen, I don't know her, never seen her. She don't know nothing about me. She said, God spoke to me to tell you a story. And I said, well, if God told you to tell me, I need to hear it. She said, you know, 7 years ago, my son committed suicide. He called ahead the night before and said he was going to hit a tree when he was around a certain curve, and she said he did. And she said, it devastated my husband. She said, you know, he pastored a church. We pastored a Pentecostal church in Mississippi. And she said, since that day, she said, my husband has never been on the platform, and he's never been behind a pulpit and never preached a sermon. She said, but God told me to tell you that it's time for you to get back in a pulpit. You can't convince me that God doesn't know what's going on. That God is in control. We enjoy all of his blessings. Sometimes we doubt some things that don't go along with the way we think they should. And so she explained, and I said, well, you don't know me. Let me tell you something. I said, I just lost my son just a few months ago, and we talked. And she said, do y'all ever go out to the spot where, you know, he committed suicide? And I said, yes, my wife. She, I've been several times, but I said, she goes more often than nearly every morning. I said, she's there. He said, you know, she said, about a month after that, a few weeks, she said, after my son killed himself at that tree, she said, my husband and I went out to that spot. And she said, we were standing looking at that tree, and we always focused on that tree. But she said, we lifted our eyes, and she said, above, there was a great billboard. And she said, on that billboard, it says, this is where grace began. She told my wife, she said, I want you to go back. And you go to that spot, and I want you to point towards heaven and say, God, this is where grace began, right here. Am I making sense? And God continually tried to assure us that our boy had made things right. And I called my daughter-in-law and I said, this is what has happened to us. This is what these preachers said in the room. And this is what Brother Mangan said, that Sister Mangan told him. And she said, well, Paul-in-law, I won't tell you. She said, he called me and told me he was going to commit suicide. That he had ruined our family and ruined his kids. And she said, and he told me he was going to kill himself. And she said, I told him no. And she said, he hung up. Not before he had told me where he was. And she said, when he hung up, I jumped in the car. Took me a few minutes to get out where he was. And she said, when I drove up, she said he was laying on the ground. Blood was flowing out of his mouth. But she said he was praying and asking God to forgive him, that he was sorry for what he had done and lives that he had ruined. And she said, until his lips just became stammering and his life edged out, she said he was praying and asking God to forgive him. Now, folks, I'm not asking for pity. I'm trying to help somebody today. Sometimes you just got to learn to trust in God. God knows what he's doing. And if God has taken a loved one from you and he's given you grace, why don't you give that loved one grace? I'm convinced, and I think I agree with your pastor, that if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you have been buried in the name of the Lord with water, that it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've been through, that all you got to say is, I'm sorry, Lord. And God comes down and will forgive you for all that you have done. And we have to put them in God's hands. Praise God. So I close. Doesn't matter what God does to us and for us, we always doubt him. And so my daughter-in-law, a week maybe, she said, you think you could take our travel trailer to Winsville and we're going to go to church over there and on weekend, but I'll come back to the home during the week. I said, sure, we'll get that. And so my son and I and my wife, we hooked onto their trailer and my boy driving, and we took off and went to Winsville. And I don't know how familiar you are of that area, but when you leave Tioga somewhere around the campgrounds and you're headed towards Winsville, folks, there's nothing out there. Kasachi National Forest, pine trees, that's it. A few deer and a couple turkeys. That's about all that's out there. And we were somewhere, so I don't know where. There's a little store. I don't even remember being there, but I saw a little store coming up, and I told JoJo, I said, Joe, I want you to pull over. I'm going to go in that store. And he said, okay. So he pulled over, and I got out. There was a man, he was over there in a at a gas pump, and there was just a couple pumps there, just small, and he was pumping gas into a pickup truck. Other than that, I don't remember anything, but he was putting gas, and he kept looking at me, and when I would look, he'd put his head down, and then he would keep staring, and I could tell, and we walked in the store, all three of us, and then we started coming out, and Joseph said, Daddy, did you notice that guy looking at you? I said, yeah. He said, you know him? I said, I don't. But I said, Joseph, you know, we preach all over the state, and there could be somebody that has been in church with us, and they see me from afar, but I don't exactly know them, you know. And I said, this is probably the case here. So we started walking out, and got just about to my truck and the travel trailer, and I saw this truck come off the highway, and it was the same truck that this man was putting gas in. He pulled up, and this man just got out of the truck. Didn't hardly say anything. He was on a mission. And he came up, and he says, did you lose your boy just recently? I said, oh, yeah, I did. He said, well, God gave me a word, a vision or a dream, I don't remember. He said, God gave me a word for you. He said, I saw you in my dream. And he said, while I was pumping gas, I knew I saw you before, but didn't know where I saw you. But he said, when I drove down the road, God said, that's him. You need to go give him a word. And that man said, I have a word for you. And I said, I want to hear it. He said, God told me to tell you that your son is safe in the bosom of the Lord. What more do you want than that? Somebody in this building, if you'll stand with me, somebody in this building, you have struggled with the fact of why things happen, why you lost a child or a spouse, why you had disease and sickness. But let me say this. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. God did not come here to bless us. He didn't come here to give you a good job. He didn't come here to give you a good house. He didn't come to give you a good spouse. Our God came to seek and save that which was lost. Some of us today need to lay our loved ones in the hands of grace, because this is where grace began. And don't you ever doubt the grace and the mercy of God. Never. So I close with this. Years ago in Longview, Texas, there was a couple. They were always poorly dressed, lived in a little old shotgun house. Man would work, come home, give his wife a little meager of money, and she would make it stretch, and she would cook and the bare minimums, and she would make clothes for these kids. They went through that years. And then one day the man died. And it devastated her, didn't know how they were going to survive. And just a few weeks after that, true story, after this she was cleaning house, and she went to the chair where her husband always sat to eat. And she was wiping down the chair, and she turned it upside down and was wiping the legs when she saw a note underneath that chair. And that note said, "I knew you'd find this note because you're a clean freak." Some of you are going home, look under chairs right now. And he said, "If you'll go up in the attic and you'll go to the opposite end, you'll see a big chest. You'll open that up. There's a big shoe box, boot box, and I want you to open it, and whatever is in there, it is for you." So she hurriedly went up into the attic, and she went to the other side of that attic, and she found the boot box, and she opened it up. And when she did, there was $1.2 million of cash in a box. Well, you like I, we know how the media does and how they act. And the media showed up, and they said, "Well, now that we know the story, lived a life for poverty, what do you think about your husband now? Made you suffer and work hard and always disappointed and weeping for your kids, and then now left you with so much money." Here's what this lady said, and it was a classic. "I don't know if I ought to hate him for what he put me through, or if I ought to love him for setting me up for life." You got a choice today. You can stay mad at God. You can still question everything God's done. You can question everything that's happened in your life, your family, and so forth. But let me tell you something. I don't know if I ought to hate him for what God put me through, or I ought to love him for setting me up for life. Hallelujah. Clap your hands with me if you would. I believe the Lord is here. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. All I know is our God is too kind to be uncaring, and he's too rich to go bankrupt, and he's too right to ever be wrong. I don't always agree with him, but he's always right. Oh, yes. Praise God. Jesus, thank you for your strength and your help. I have given my heart and soul, but I want you right now to do what only you can do. I want you to walk down every aisle and go out and go through every pew. And I want you to put your hand upon every shoulder. I want you to caress, hold, and love on those that are hurting. The enemy of our soul has given us fear, given us doubt, disappointment. But you're a loving God. And whatever you do it right. And that all things work together for good to those that love you. And I just come to tell you today, I love you. I love you with all of my heart. And I trust you for what you have done. Praise God. I wonder if there's somebody that could join me here. You just want to come up and maybe give something to the Lord. Maybe you want to just lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, you know what, I don't quite understand what happened. I don't know why I went through this, but God surely knows. But you come, we're going to give it to the Lord. You're going to be different this afternoon. You're going to look at God's blessings different. You're going to look at God's goodness different.
He is faithful.
All my life.
No, no, no. In the name of Jesus.
Come on, let God. Let God talk to you right now. I've come to help you. I didn't come to scratch a wound. I didn't come to remind you of the past. I come to tell you about a God that's still a God of grace. He's still a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. Come on, we're going to give it to the Lord right now. We're going to give it to the Lord right now. Don't leave the same way you came. Don't stay mad at God. Don't keep doubting Him. Lay it in His hands. A loved one can be on their deathbed. One, I love you. Forgive me, God. God's grace will overcome and consume them. See that boy. See that daughter. See that spouse standing beside the Lord. Hear God say, He is safe in the hands of the Lord. If God gave Jezebel a space to repent, don't you think He would give a loved one just a moment of consciousness to make things right with Him? Praise God. Let me share something with you. And I've never told this. My wife and I, we grieved. Still are grieving. Everything we see, a truck we see, song we hear, brings back these memories. But the wife and I have been convinced that God, whatever he did, it was right. Because, listen to me close, if my son would have not taken his life, we can't imagine what would have happened to him. Could be a whoremonger chasing the bars, and could be drinking, and because he was devastated. But we have a loving God, and the God said, you know what? I'm just going to take him home. I'll settle that because I want him saved. So don't you doubt what God is doing, because God is in full control. Lift your hands to the Lord, and I want you to let peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, God. God, I feel such a presence in this place. God, there's a healing in this house right now. Oh, God. Touch that heart right now. It's broken. Help our unbelief. We surrender our lives and the lives of our loved ones to you. We trust that our friends that have gone on to meet you would find a gracious God and a merciful God. And I'm glad I got a church, God, that stands with me and for me in times like this. Thank you, Lord, for a pastor that reminds me of your grace and your mercy and how good you are to us. Even though I disagree sometimes, you are always right. I want you to grab somebody by the hand. Put your arm around their neck if it's legal here. Just, we don't know what our neighbor's going through. We don't know what our friends are going through. But we have a God that knows everything. So I want you to pray for one another right now in the name of Jesus. There you go. Give it to God. Let's give it to God. Let's give it to God. Come on, something happening in spirit. There is an undercurrent of God's power.
Thank you for everything, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. It's more than a your grace is new every morning. Your mercy is with the dawn of each day. What a God.
What a God. Come on, don't walk out of this place with a burden. Walk out of this place with victory. Yes, in the name of the Lord. We all need God. We all need the mercies of the Lord. What tomorrow holds, I don't know. But I know a God that holds me in the hollow of his hand.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Come on, if I've spoke to you this morning through God's word, I want you to thank him for what he's going to do in advance. God's credit is good for you. He's good with us. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Would you, before we dismiss, would you just lift your hands and thank the Lord for what we've just heard? Can you imagine how hard it was for Brother Lacombe and Sister Lacombe to have to deliver such a word? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Not an easy process. Though he slay me, yet will I. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Difficult situations and decisions that have to be made. And Brother Lacombe has delivered a great word. Regardless of what you're going through, even when you don't understand him, if you'll just trust him. Praise God. What a great word. What a great word. I thank Sister Lacombe for allowing that word to go forth, and she said it had to be spoken. So would you pray for them? Would you hold your hand over there and pray for them right now? All over the building, pray for them. Hallelujah. Give them strength, Lord. Emotional, spiritual, physical strength. Overtake them, Lord, with your power and your presence in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Would you greet one another and make sure you greet them before you're dismissed? God bless you. Make sure you tell them how much of a blessing they've been to us. Praise God. How many of you want him back? We'll get him back. He's got to go off and preach men's conference in Texas, but we're going to get him back again. God bless you. We love you. Greet one another before you leave.